what an honor it is to be able to speak to you today and share about serving. So we completed 3 weeks of talking about community, and isn't it neat that we are able to do this bonfire immediately after our community series, because that's what this bonfire is about coming together and just being together, and it's just a no-pressure environment. So we hope you come out and spend the time with us. It's going to be excellent. It really is fun. But over the last 3 Sundays, we talked about community, which I am absolutely passionate about. I absolutely believe that this is something God has commanded of us to be a part of, community for our growth. And also that Tristan talked about how it's difficult. Last week, Tristan talked about how it actually can be difficult to stay in community. You know, we start in community, we meet lots of new people, it's fun, it's engaging, and then, you know, we're in community for a little while, and then we bump shoulders with somebody, or something happens with somebody, or it's just hard. And it can get much harder to stay in community than to start in community. And that's where you end up sometimes bouncing around from place to place. But really, the gold in community is when you stay. And Tristan really leaned into that, because this is where the richness is and the growth is when we do that. And God really intends for us to have rich, deep community, not just surface level community. So I encourage you to continue to lean into that. Oh, sorry, I'm bumping around here. Okay, let's see. Here we go. I encourage you to continue to lean into the idea of community, and even the places where it puts pressure in your life, because this is a part of what God intends community to do, is to put pressure on places where we need to grow. Today, we're going to start a new series on service, which really community leans into so naturally. And you cannot experience healthy, vibrant, rich community without serving people. You can't be here and isolate yourself and actually experience community the way God intended. Showing up on a Sunday, having a few good conversations or connections within the church doesn't really indicate or lead to spiritual maturity. It's a part of it, but it really, if we only do that, we stay at the surface level. Really, to engage community properly, to properly grow, we have to lean into serving together. Through my own Christian walk, I have had at times where I've kind of been assessing, how am I doing with my walk with God? And I'm sure many of you have done that. You know, am I doing well? Am I struggling? How can I tell? Is this an emotional thing? Can I tell by how I feel? A lot of times we'll lean into that. We'll be like, I'm feeling good today. You know, so I must be doing okay. Oh, I'm really struggling. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling low. Maybe I'm not doing okay. You know, am I getting better? Am I regressing? Am I meeting God's expectations and hopes? And no matter how long we've been following Jesus, you know, or how deep our faith gets, we often have these measurements that we try to find to say, I'm doing okay or I'm not doing okay. I've grown or I've not grown. And it could be as simple as things like reading your Bible, or how often we get to church, or what it looks like getting to church. Maybe it's utter chaos and mayhem getting to church, and you get in the door and you like barely have gotten your hair, you know, put up, and you're like wiping the sweat off your forehead as you drag the kids down, you know, to their class, or you sit down like with all the pressures. And maybe that says to you, what kind of Christian am I anyways? I'm just showing up here, barely getting in the door, yelling at my kids, you know, and these things are a part of how we assess how we're doing. And these are all ways over the years that I have actually used as a barometer to tell how I'm doing. How much I read my Bible, how much did I pray, how long did I pray, was I super distracted while I pray? If I prayed and I read my Bible and it was focused and I feel good, check, 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 must mean that I'm doing well. But in all honesty, those are good markers, they are. These are good markers of our growth and of a growing faith. But if we look at them, and we look at even the people around us growing, we can say, okay, yeah, these are things we see in their lives. But do these measurements actually tell us the truth? If we check all those boxes and we feel good, are we actually maturing? Are we actually growing? Is this the indicator of maturity? So the question we might want to ask instead, because, you know, if we use those things, we'll be like this: I'm maturing, I'm not maturing, I'm maturing, I'm not maturing, you know? And it becomes a roller coaster, and this is where we end up feeling all over the place in how we're doing, rather than having this understanding that we're steadily growing. So a question we might want to ask instead is, how did Jesus measure spiritual maturity? Jesus consistently measured spiritual maturity differently than we do. And we can see that all through his walk and his journey and through the Word. For Jesus, spiritual maturity looks like love expressed in action. It looks like love expressed in action. Is that me, Jeff? The bumping? Okay. Sorry if it is. Something common when Jesus was here on earth was people who knew Scripture and still tried to avoid people. Jesus' pointed critique of spiritual leaders in the parable of the Good Samaritan spoke to the disconnect between faith and action that plagued them. And I think we can kind of even relate to that, you know, knowing the Scriptures or knowing the things we should do or do even doing them, but like avoiding people. We either know people or have had seasons in our lives where we're like this. And so the Good Samaritan, this parable, it's a parable where the spiritual leaders of the time who prided themselves on keeping the law and being quote-unquote holy avoided this desperately beaten man. He'd been robbed and beaten and left for dead on the side of the road. And there were several spiritual leaders that went by him at different times, and they would cross the road or say, I don't have time, or turn their nose up and avoid dealing with this man who needed help so badly. And then there was this other man, a Samaritan, whom they would have seen as very unholy, who actually stopped and went to this man and helped him and paid for him to stay somewhere and provided him with clothing, provided him with all his needs. And the seemingly spiritually mature, by all standards, you know, avoided him. The seemingly spiritual mature, we talked about earlier, avoided the difficult person, elevating the law above the heart of the law. Jesus condemned this and said it pointed to their spiritual immaturity, that they actually were missing the whole point altogether. We may read our Bible every day, go to church on Sundays, serve on a team, check all the spiritual boxes, but if our heart, we disliked people or are avoiding someone or refusing to serve someone or people in general, we are lacking maturity in our lives. We're lacking the evidence that we're growing. I know I have at times felt this way. And this is actually a natural feeling when we're burnt out or hurt or we're really focused on a goal, or sometimes there's other things that can make us feel walled up, arm's length with people, not wanting to serve. Those feelings are natural feelings in certain circumstances. The feeling itself isn't what's condemned, it's what we do with it. It's how we navigate it. The feeling is not what should be leading us. The feeling should lead us to Jesus. And when I come to Jesus with these things, I see in my life that the sentiment is actually an indicator of something deeper. It's actually not the other people that are the problem, though their behavior may feed what's firing off in me. What they're doing may actually touch against something in me. It's actually something in me that's the problem. It's something in me that has an issue. It's a lack of abiding in or submitting to Christ. And in turn, then I'm lacking the love and healing and leading and over that needs to overflow out of me because I'm not anchored into Christ the way that I should. And when I, like the spiritual leaders in Jesus' time, measure my faith and root into myself into the wrong places, then I run dry. The fruit that I'm trying to produce withers up. I can't produce those things, those spiritual fruits, right? That I need to serve others. And so that anchoredness into Christ is absolutely what we need. And when those things wither up, I can't pour out what God is asking me to do. But as I reorient myself and allow Holy Spirit to lead, to be my source, to show me his heart, to fill me with his love, it actually changes me, just like Pastor Jeff was talking about earlier. When he comes in here and we anchor into that right source, it changes everything. As I lay down that feeling of wanting to close people out, maybe we've been hurt, maybe you're just exhausted. We have to bring that to Christ and say, God, I give this to you because I know this isn't where you want me to live in this moment. That's how bitterness roots in. This is how a wall towards the church roots in. This is how these things are allowed to stay, is when we decide this is what's going to lead. But if we go to the Father and we say, this is where I'm at, this is what I'm dealing with, and we let him then lead us, he can lead us through it. As I lay down those feelings of wanting to close out the world or harden my heart and allow God to rehydrate me, to soften my heart again, to teach me what serving looks like, I can say, forgive them because they don't know what they do, like Jesus did, right? I can wash feet even when people betray. I can lead even when I know people may not follow. I can trust God with outcomes and goals, because I'm doing ultimately what the Father wants for his purposes. I'm not serving the goal. I'm not serving the feeling. I'm serving him. And I'm serving from a place of being grafted into him, being dependent on him, of allowing him to fully restore me, and drawing from him rather than simply doing good things from my own strength. So in this, I want to actually challenge you right now, and I'm going to take a moment. Is there anyone right now in your heart that you're saying, I cannot love that person. I cannot forgive that person. I cannot serve that person. And are you willing then to let God come in and lead you into how to forgive, how to love, how to serve? And we may have a framework of what that looks like in our heads, and I need you to let that go, because sometimes that's what holds us back. We put up a structure. This is what serving them looks like. And God may say, actually, serving them may not look like what you say, but I still need you to let me lead you into that. I still need you to serve them, and this is what it looks like. I still need you to forgive them. And so as followers of Christ, we don't get to choose what parts we follow. We have said, not my will, but God's. And God's word is clear in 1 John 4:20. He says, if anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother or sister, he's a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister, whom he sees in front of him, cannot love a God who he cannot see. And so God's will is for us to forgive, for loving and serving even those who have offended us or hurt us or frustrated us or we just don't get, much like Tristan was talking about last week. And this is why community pulls up in us the things that need to be dealt with. So is there someone that you are trying to avoid right now? Jesus chose forgiveness and serving, and we are to do the same. And so I want to actually take a moment right now. Wherever you are in that journey, if there is someone that you're like, I can't, I won't, will you invite Jesus to at least show you how? Show you how to open your heart, show you how to open your fingers up where you want to control. Will you invite him to say, like, I don't know how, but will you show me how? Or I want your will. I want you more than I want to stay hard. So let's just take a moment right now before we lean into the rest and do that. Father, I just pray that if there's anyone that any of us have in our hearts where we've chosen unforgiveness or bitterness or refusal to love, and maybe it feels justified, but God, you were justified to turn your back on us, and you chose not to. And you ask us to love the same, and we may not know what that looks like. It's not boundaryless. It's not without health, but God, it is love. And it requires us to depend on you. And so God, I just bring before you each and every person. May we bring these people to you and invite you to show us how. God, show us how. Forgive us where we've harbored unforgiveness, bitterness, and show us how to serve as you did. as you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you, if there's somebody, keep letting the Lord work in that area. It's really important for your spiritual growth. If we're not careful, we can easily see spiritual maturity as good things. We can volunteer in our community. We can be a part of ministry programs at our church. We can maybe even make the occasional sacrifice to help a good cause. And these are good things, and things that we should either keep doing, or if we're not doing, start doing. These are things that are important. God actually commands us to do these things. And if we step back for a moment, though, we can see with clarity that most of us actually imagine serving as somewhere else. So it's not necessarily in our home. It's somewhere we go to do things. You know, maybe I go to church and I serve by doing something at the church, or I go and I serve in my community, right? We go somewhere to do, or someday it's a specific date and time, like those of you who are scheduled to come here, you got your planning set of request, you showed up, you did your thing, and you leave, right? It's a thing we show up to, it's a date. Or maybe it's someone dramatic, it's a targeted group, it's something that has desperate need, and we go to and we serve, and then we depart. It's a moment. Yet at the same time, we can overlook roommates or spouses or coworkers or classmates or neighbors or our children that are right here beside us. More than that, we can often show up to these moments or these engagements and show up really well, you know, with our smile on our face, eager to lean in. We have self-control, engaged, you know, we're doing the things we're supposed to, and then we leave. And we lose all that, and we're short, and we're grumpy, and we're unkind to the people closest to us, the people we feel like we can let our guard down, because we often want projects of love more than to become people of love. It's easy to do projects. You can come and go out of that. Becoming a person of love means every day, every moment, you're practicing this practice of love. Projects are task-driven. And when we drill down, are often more about accomplishing than serving. They can be motivated by care and love, absolutely. But they are led usually by control. Something we can measure, do when we want, how we want, as we want. Being a person of love is a heart posture. It is a way of living. It is submission and surrender. It's elevating others. It's sacrifice. It's cost. It looks to Holy Spirit to lead rather than urges or feelings or tasks or systems. A person of love actually lets go of control, giving it to Holy Spirit, who decides the outflow. We then release the outcomes and the outflow and let him decide. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus leaves those listening, the disciples, the crowd, and the religious leaders, contrasting his way versus the ways we choose in our own strength. And in it, Jesus defines spiritual maturity as fruit through love. Says this in Matthew 7:16-20. It says, "You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruit." As Jesus approached the end of his time with his disciples, he gave them a command that, viewed through the lens of the cross, would leave deep implications for them. He said this in John 13:34-35. "I give you a new command. Love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." Wow, it says love one another an awful lot in there, doesn't it? And I want to be known as a disciple of Christ, and I believe that you do too. But that requires us to love one another. For Jesus, spiritual maturity, fruit is not found in image. The depth of one's faith isn't seen in their personal charisma. It isn't found in a whirlwind of activity, just being busy, making sure all the boxes are checked and running from here to there. No, no. Fruit is Christ-like love being visible. This flowed from who he was. what his mission was with us here. Jesus came to serve. That's what he said he came to do, to serve. Jesus is our example when we look at serving, the one we are to emulate. So we often speak of the first or the last 3 years of his life where he preached and he healed, he did miracles, he was teaching, his death and resurrection. We look at those and we absolutely can see him serving and loving and pouring out there, right? But if you look at it, you can see it in his entirety of his life. And actually, when we really take a step back, his serving absolutely did not start just at 30. You know, not when he turned 30, when his ministry of healing and things like that started. It was something we can see right from the time he chose to leave glory. He served us when he actually chose to say, I'll give my life, when I'll step onto the earth, I'll step out of this beautiful, incredible place that I live in. He lived in glory. He lived apart from ever experiencing sin around him. He stepped away from the magnificence of heaven and said, I'll come to earth. I'll come here and live amongst broken people. I'll come here and come as a baby. Can you imagine being God and choosing to come as a helpless baby? Like, just think about that for a second. Would you choose to step back into being a helpless baby? To going through birth and then being a baby at the whim of your parents? I don't think any of us would choose that. And yet, the God of all creation, of all time, said, I'll become a baby. And then he submitted himself to imperfect parents. Both Mary and Joseph were completely imperfect. They were like you and I. And he let them be his parents. He didn't go, Mom, I'm perfect. I should be telling you what to do. You do the dishes. You know, like, he submitted. He submitted to them. Even if you remember in the Bible, it talks about a story where he was sitting in the temple and he was with the leaders and they were discussing, and his parents came and were like, where have you been? They were looking for him for 3 days. I'd be having a heart attack, of course. I'd be like, where have you been? And he said, like, I was in my father's house. But it says after that, from there, he submitted to his parents. He obeyed his parents. And I just think it's profound. What about the religious leaders? He sat under their teaching as a young Jewish boy. All the scriptures, sitting in the synagogue, the learning he did, God let himself be taught by the imperfect spiritual leaders, who he would have heard them teaching things and leading things imperfectly. And he came with humility. And he let them lead him. And he served under them. His dad taught him to be a carpenter. He didn't come alongside and say, I made the earth. Here, I'll show you how to make this desk. He said, Dad, teach me how to be a carpenter. And he let his dad teach him. And he learned from him. Like, what humility. What servitude to come and live like this. All those spaces choosing to submit and serve to imperfect humans, leading him. Choosing at every stage to serve, to be humble, to submit to his Father in heaven. And the directing his Father gave him as to how to live out his life here on earth. That's the cookie cutter for us. What is the Father asking of us? Imagine being perfect and having to serve imperfect people. To never take offense when they do dumb things. Think about the things you've taken offense to, and you're imperfect. You may have been a part of that moment of offense. And you're still like, oh. You know? And he never took offense. He never got proud. He stayed humble. He stayed within the systems. He understood what was going on, and yet he allowed himself to be taught by imperfect people. He chose to live within the boundaries and limitations of humanity, of the oppressed people he was born into. He was born into oppression, and he chose to stay in there instead of rising up and being like, that's it, you guys are crazy, I'm changing everything here. And the simple life he was born into, he wasn't born into riches and wealth. He was born into simplicity. Even his looks, it says he was just a simple, normal-looking guy, average. He didn't decide, you know what, I'm tired of being average. I'm going to make myself look better. And often we give ourselves reasons why we can't serve. We sit here and say, I can't love or I can't serve this way. And we'll point to our lack or our limitations or our resources or our circumstance or our wounding or oppression. And yet when we look at Jesus, he served even still. And he loved even still. He did not wait to become greater or empowered or influential or more have more resources or less misunderstood or have better leaders. He literally chose to come and become the least in order to serve us. It says this in Mark 10:43-45. It says, whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you will be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many. Jesus is revealing to the disciples who are arguing over position what the character of God is really like, what humanity was meant to be and can be in Christ. Jesus would show them in a simple, ordinary, yet profound way how to do this. As he wrestled with the existential moment ahead of him, as he dealt with the betrayer amongst his close friends, he loved them, lowering himself to washing their feet. As he prepared to die for us, knowing Judas was right there in the crowd of the small group of people, he chose to kneel down and wash their feet. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him even as he was washing his feet. And he knew that the rest would run, resort to violence, deny him, go back to their old lives. He knew this, and yet there he was serving them, washing their feet. He didn't wait for them to figure it all out. He didn't wait till Judas was gone. No, in that moment, in that small room, in the privacy of that room, no guilt tripping, no manipulation, no like, I don't know what you're about to do. You know, like, no, he just did it. He just served. And when you hear what he has to say next, you don't hear him saying anything but continuing to love, teach, and serve his disciples. He said in John 13:14-15, he said, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. Jesus serves them not in front of a large crowd. He doesn't gather everyone around and then wash their feet and say, look, everyone, look what I'm doing. No, no. But in an ordinary room with the door closed amongst those who knew him best, he loved them to the end. And this is something we need to look at. Like, what are we doing with those who know us best, who are closest to us? As the early church formed, it had to wrestle through their newfound faith just as we do. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the churches in Galatia, would teach that the freedom we find in Christ is that we can, as you can see in Galatians 5, serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. Service is the formation of our faith. To another church, he would develop this further based off of the examples of Christ. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourself. Everyone should look to not to his own interests, but rather the interests of others. In our Christ-like formation, service doesn't just help others, it reshapes us. It is in this place of serving where we see the truth of where we need to grow, forgive, let go, or soften. It is as we are called to serve that judgment surfaces or the insecurities of or fear of man surfaces. Like, how many times have you stood there and you're like, I really should go, you know, whatever. Go do this and something, or somebody invites you, hey, how would you feel about doing this with me? And you know, somebody else is there or something is happening or this group of people is there and something in your heart is like, Let that surface. Look at it in honesty with Christ. Go like, why? Why does this person cause me to refuse to do something? Why does this group of people or these circumstances make me go, no, I don't want to. There's something in us, right? There's one thing to say, no, I know that's not for me. But often when that place of resistance shows up, as I believe Jeff once said, where's that place of resistance? right? When that resistance shows up, it's revealing something that Holy Spirit wants to deal with. So in servitude, we often are faced with our own very self, and we get to allow Holy Spirit to reshape us. He wants to reshape us into the image of Christ. Isn't that what we want? We have to let go of those places where we resist. The goal is not occasional acts of love, but becoming people of love. Becoming a people of love means allowing Christ's love to form us. And he forms us through ordinary moments of putting others before ourselves, serving others, choosing to listen to Holy Spirit guide us in small, simple moments of service. Again, this isn't talking about a role in a church, though sometimes that is a part of it, but rather how we love in everyday moments, when our kids or siblings disregard or hurt us, when our spouse misses a cue or is even hurtful, when a fellow follower of Jesus says something ignorant or immature. In those moments when you see patterns, not here, of course, that would never happen here, I know. In those moments when you see patterns or trajectories that are painful and you want to control, but God asks you to love and allow room for free will, to be patient in the process and in the unknown. The moments where you choose love and serve people in their broken human state, whether you feel like it or not, just like Jesus did for us. How have you measured your spiritual maturity? What measurements have you used in the past to say, I'm doing all right, or I really got to pull up my socks. I'm struggling. You know, are you looking at all those check boxes? Those are important. Don't disregard those. Please don't. You need to be reading your Bible, praying, spending time in community. But we need to look at the fruit. Are you outflowing love? Who are the ordinary people God has already placed in your life to serve? Not out there. Who is right in front of you that God's saying, I want you to serve this person? Sometimes in very simple ways. Let go of that resentment. Say that nice thing. Do those dishes. Shovel that driveway. Spend some time with them. Where have you overlooked the simple opportunities to love? Is there something just sitting right there waiting for you to pick up that the busyness of life calls you to something else? This week, let's look for one intentional act of practical love in your everyday environment. I really challenge you to start looking for these moments, the everyday moments, to love the people around you. To let Jesus transform. When that place of resistance shows up where you just don't want to, or there's something there, let him go there. As each of us together grows in our capacity to love and serve each other, we become people known for our practical love. And man, I know that already, I see it so much here, but there's already always space to grow. I know I'm not yet like Jesus. I'm on my way. I'm better than I was. I have so much more I can grow in. And I want to. I want to be more like him. I don't want to hold on to all this stuff that holds me back. I don't want to hold on to those places of resistance that in the moment, yes, I don't feel like doing it, but I actually don't enjoy having that in my life. And I don't think you either. So let's allow God to reform us, to reshape us into the image of Christ. Our homes, not just our campuses, can become places of ministry. Our walks to the grocery store, our drive to work, these can be places of ministry, and they should be. And our everyday, regular, everyday lives become sacred spaces of deep spiritual formation. You know, sometimes we think it has to be in the high, big moments, has to be in the very spiritual moments, but every day. God made your everyday. It's spiritual. That's a spiritual moment. It's a holy moment. Your getting up and going to work is a holy moment. it's a moment where God wants to shape you and lead you and use you. Wholehearted service is the visible fruit of a life being formed by Jesus. It's love in us that looks like Jesus. It's love that loves to the end. So I want to pray now. And let's just invite God to show us those questions I asked. What are those spaces where we can grow in this area? Where God wants us to release those resistance places, those spaces where we want to hold on, those places where we're struggling. Just let him lead us through that. So Father, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, that you served so perfectly, that you came to earth and into our ordinary broken lives and served us. And Lord, I ask that you show us and reveal to us where we're resisting that reshaping process and also the outflow of your love that you want to pour out. God, where we're looking for big moments, where we're looking for those project moments, and you're looking for us to just walk with you, to let you literally flow out of us. And how incredible would it be to live just letting your love actually overflow out of us, living water every day, blessing people's lives, where we're letting go of those things that just make us bitter or fearful or worried. God, and living in the freedom of serving others. God, I just pray that you would transform us. That even now we would just start throwing off those things and saying, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to live entangled in this anymore. I just want to do whatever God asks. And I want to love and serve those around me the way God asks. So God, transform us more and more into your image. And where we've resisted you, we've put down roots and said no, God, forgive us. Help us. Show us how. You're so good. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.